Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Chof Gimel. We're going to begin 11 lines down from the top, Chof Gimel, Omud Aleph. We have a number of yard sites that I just received that we're going to say we learned for over the last couple of days. Gerald Pinsky, Gedalia Ben Yeshaya Abba Mamtzi, Jacob Heller, Yaakov Ben Moshe Ze'ev, Tzipora Ann Brickner, Tzipora Chana Bas Gershon, Rabbi Seymour Shore, Harav Shmuel Yehuda ben Yosef, Diana Kramer, Dina Baz Zacharia, Lester Greenberg, Eliezer ben Meir. And finally, yesterday, there was the yahrzeit of Doris Brick, Devorah Bas Sholom Aryeh. May all the neshamas that we just mentioned have an aliyah from our learning. All the neshamas we learned for should have an aliyah from our learning. So we begin 11 lines down on Chof Gimel Amud Aleph. Remind ourselves at the end of yesterday's shiur, we had a discussion saying that a Talmud Chacham that doesn't take Nekima and Netira is Eino Talmud Chacham. So it seems to say that they're obligated to take revenge, these two forms of revenge that we discussed in yesterday's shiur. But then we have the pasuk, lo sikom v'lo sitor, you're not allowed to. So we gave a reconciliation. We said that when it comes to monetary matters, so then you're not allowed to take nekama, you're not allowed to take netira. But when it comes to the Talmud Chacham himself, so then if they're attacking the Talmud Chacham himself, then he's obligated to take nekama and netira. The Gemara questions this and says, really? Vitzara degufa lo? This is one way to learn this. Are you telling me that there's no problem for a Talmud Chacham to take nekama, to take netira, for Tzara Degufe when he's being attacked personally? The other way to learn this is that it's not saying, no, that was wrong what we said yesterday, that there's a distinction between Mammon and Tzara Degufe. But it's saying there's a Midas Chasidus that a person should have, that even though technically a Talmud Chacham is allowed to go and take Nekima and Netira, he shouldn't do so. So that's what the Gemara's question is according to the second understanding. They're both similar. In any event, the Gemara questions that Tzara Degufe lo, but we learned in a brisa, a famous brisa, it says, Hane'elovim, if those people that are attacked, they're ranked out, they're dissed, and yet they don't know them, they don't respond. They sit there and they accept the insults that are given to them in silence. Shomim Charpasun, they hear they're being made fun of, they hear the bushan is being attacked against them. Ve'enamishivim, but they don't rank back, they don't go and argue back and say, oh yeah, you think this, well, what about that? They're silent, and they listen to their insults without going and attacking back. Likewise, osim me'ava. Rashi elsewhere tells us that osim me'ava means that they do mitzvos me'avas hamokom, v'lo litos schar, v'lo me'yiras paranius. These people that are doing the mitzvos, they do it at the highest level. The highest level is out of Abba. Next highest level is out of Yira. It's still great to do the mitzvos out of Yira, but it's a higher level to do them out of Abba. So these people that do the mitzvos, osim me'ava, usmeichim b'yisurim. Rashi elsewhere tells us this is Al-Aliva Habo'alem. They accept with love the afflictions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts on them. They take bi'ahava, all of these yisurim. They do it with simcha. So about such people, it says, Aleim HaKosef Omer. About such people, it says, V'ohavav, the ones who love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kitzes Hashem Es Begurasa, or like the sun coming out in its full power. Some refer, Rashi elsewhere says that this refers to in the future when the sun will be so much more powerful than it is today. But in any event, clearly the message from this is that the Talmud Chacham should not go and take Nekama. He shouldn't go and be noter if somebody insults him. So how can you tell me that that's acceptable, or at least it should be a Midas Chasidus that he shouldn't do so? So Gemara says, Yataka, right. Lo'olam dinokit le belibe. What the Talmud Chacham is allowed to do is not publicly to go and respond back, but he remembers it inside, and he shouldn't do it himself, but others should stand up for the Talmud Chacham, and they should go and fight back on behalf of the Talmud Chacham, but the Talmud Chacham should just sit there and take it without fighting back. Mora's not happy with this, though. V'amar Rava, Rava said, no, kol ha-mavir al-midosa, even a further step is somebody goes and looks at all the actions that he has done to him, and he says, I forgive this person, he's mavir al-midosa, and in other words, he says, I will not go and even in my heart keep my anger against that person. So if somebody can reach that madrega, mavirin lawa kol pishov, that he will also be forgiven. It's like a midah keneged midah. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, listen, you were very nice to other people. You forgave other people. You were willing to accept things that you didn't have to accept. So I will also accept things that I don't have to accept. I will be nice to you. So how can you tell me that a Talmud Chacham in his heart is even allowed to go and maintain this hatred or this being upset at the other person? So Gemara says, no, because Rav is talking about the Mefayis Sulei, Mefayis, when the person came and said, listen, Taka, I made a terrible mistake. I'm so sorry that I hurt you. Then the Talmid Chacham should let it go. He shouldn't keep the anger in his heart. He should totally forgive the person, not only openly, but even in his heart. But if the person wasn't Mefayis him, then the Talmid Chacham is allowed to keep it in his heart, and other people should go and stand up on behalf of the Talmid Chacham. Okay, that finishes that little sugya, and now we go back and quote the Mishnah. We talked about the pious, the lottery system, which they instituted after there was an accident in the Beis HaMikdash because of the running, whoever could run faster. So we said they do this lottery by having everybody in a circle, and they put out their finger. They put out either one or two fingers. We say they put out one or two fingers. They couldn't put out the thumb because of the Ramoim, as we'll see, but they put out either one or two fingers. They put out their index finger or their middle finger, or they put both of them out. So Gemara says, I don't understand. Why is it one or two? Hashto shtayim motzim. If you tell me you're allowed to put out two fingers, so achas m'boy, you then have to tell me that you can put out one finger. How is the count? So you only count it once, as we'll see. So whether you put out one finger or two fingers, that coin is counted as one. That just shows he's taking a place in this lottery. We said you pick a high number, and they're all going around in a circle, and you go counting up to 100, Rashi said, or 60, and you go around in the circle, and whatever number you start with, a certain coin takes off his mitznefes, he takes off his hat, you start from him, and then you go around until you hit that number 100, and the guy that it lands on, he gets to do the avoda. In this case, it was the first pais, it was for Truma Sadeshin. So now you're telling me you put out two fingers. Why would you have to tell me you can put out one finger? Gemara says it depends on the type of the person. There's no steer over here, one or two. It depends. A bari, a healthy person who can easily put out one finger, kan bibari, he should put out one finger. But a person who maybe is a little bit older, he has trouble separating his fingers easily, we put it out. I don't understand exactly what the scenario is, but if he's a chola of certain sorts, kan b'chola, so he's allowed to put out two fingers. Now, if a kohen is so blemished, he has a nebuch stroke or something, and he can't put out his fingers, he probably can't do the avoda. So it must be talking about a person who has some mild problem over here, and he is able to do the avoda still, but he has difficulty putting out one finger, so he puts out two fingers. Ah, okay. And Vatanya, I'll show you that this is correct, because it says in the Braisa, this is a Hatanya Benichusa. Normally Rashi says that, here he doesn't. In any event, this Braisa is being in support of what we just said. Achas motziim shtayim ein motziim. The Braisa says, don't put out two fingers, you're only allowed to put out one finger. Under what circumstances is that talking about? Bibari, with a healthy person. Avo b'chola, if a person is sick, as Rashi says, ein yochol l'chavesh esbio, so he's not able to go and put out a single finger. Ukishemotzi achas, he puts out one finger, yotzu chaver tima, the other finger comes out with it. So in this situation, afilu shtayim motzim, this chola could even put out two fingers, it only counts as one. Vayichidim, now, yichidim is understood over here by Rashi as dealing with chulin, not with this type of a pious. He says, in general, when you're doing such a pious, she'enun yoshvim im shabri yodim, they're not all sitting together, ela shochvin or yoshvim levadim, they're each by themselves. So in this situation, then, the yechidim motzim shtayim, then you can put out two fingers, there's no potential for trouble, because the person's by himself, so the person who's doing the counting, so he's not going to mistakenly think that there are two kohanim there, because there's only one kohen sitting there. However, but when they put out two fingers, they still only get counted as one in whatever type of a lottery system that you're doing, that you're going around the room and counting the fingers, and you're going to hit a certain number, and that person will be the designee for whatever it is. Now, the Bach brings out another pshat, which is also the pshat that is found in the Rabbeinu Chananel, that these yechidim, they're rabbonon, they're chachamim, shenikru yechidim, and the cholim, the Rabbeinu Chananel says, are also the Rabbanon. He brings psukim or statements from the Gemara to support this. So they're individuals that are by themselves, or these are individuals that are very special, they could put out two, but they still only get counted as one. So that supports Rav Chisda's teretz. His Bryce is in support of Rav Chisda said that the reason why he says one or two is one is for when they're healthy, and two is either for individuals that are incapable of putting out just one, or they're by themselves, or they're Tamidei Chachamim. Gemara questions this and says, wait a second. The ein molon no ela achas. At the end of this braisa, we said that you only count them, even though they put out two fingers, as one. But now, Votanya, here we have a contradiction. This Votanya is a standard Votanya, but that doesn't seem to be in accord with the following braisa, where the braisa says, ein motziim lo sholish, a person can't put out the third finger. That literally means the middle finger. Oh, he can't put out the lo gudol, he can't put out his thumb. And this is because, as I mentioned earlier, and here's where I got it from, Ibnei HaRamoyim, because of the cheaters, because of the people that are going to be tricky, and they're going to try, they're going to calculate and say, oh, if he goes around the full other time, he's going to come back to me, and I'll be the winner. So therefore, I just need to have one extra coin, so to say, in here. So he puts out his thumb, and he puts out his middle finger. They can be stretched far apart because of the webbing between the thumb and the other fingers, so it can look to a person, they're all packed together. When they just put their fingers into the middle, the coin who's counting, the mamuna, he could easily make a mistake. So therefore, you're not allowed to put out those fingers. And then it says, the im hotzi sholish, but if you did put out the middle finger, monim lo, we do count it. Now, that seems to imply that they count it as two. They put out the pointer finger and the middle finger. It seems to say that you count the middle finger, the sholish, and that means that you count it as two. This is the kasha. But by the way, we just finished off the brisa, gudel ein monim lo. The thumb we don't count no matter what, and if the guy puts out the thumb, that's really a sign that he's being tricky. If he does do this, so then he also gets some sort of a patch. He gets hit by the mamuna with a pakia. We'll have a machlokas in a moment what a pakia is, but everybody agrees it's some sort of a whip. He gets lashes, he gets malchus. So bottom line is, this brisa says that you do seem to count the sholish, so you count it as two, one for the pointer finger and one for the sholish. Okay, the thumb, we don't count at all. But there are, seemingly, that you count it as two, kasha, stira to what we just said. Someone says, no, you misunderstood this brisa. My mon and lo, when it said over here that you count it, it means nami achas. You could count it, but you only count it as one. So if he puts out the pointer finger and the middle finger, it still only counts as one, which is exactly what we said before. By the way, what does the word pakia mean? My pakia? So I'm a rab. Rab tells us it means madra. Okay, that doesn't help us that much. My madra, the word says. What is a madra? So I'm a rapapa. Rapapa explained that a madra is matrika de tayoy. This is a certain type of a whip that the Arabs used to have. They used to hit their animals to make them go faster. The psik reshe, and the end of it is split. So the end is like you get multiple lashes. When you swing once, the end has three or four different parts to it, so it's like you're hitting the animal three or four times. That's the shot over here that we have in our Gemara. The Rabbeinu Chananel brings down that it was some sort of a stick that at the end of it had a strap. So either way, it's some sort of a whip that they would hit with. Exactly what this was, it seems to be a little bit of a difference of opinion, but it all served the same purpose. So the Mamuna, the one who was doing the counting, if somebody put out their thumb, he gave him a zetz, he gave him malchus. Now, Omer Abaye, Abaye says, Meresh, originally, when I didn't know our Gemara here now, Haba Mina, I said, that which we learned in the Mishnah and Shkolim, we just said it's not that long ago when we talked about all the people that were in charge of the various activities in the Beis HaMikdash, so we said, Ben Beboy, this person, his name was Ben Beboy, he was the most famous or the first one in charge of a certain area of the Beis HaMikdash, he was the one that was Mamuna ala Pakia, he was the one in charge of the Pakia. Now, I didn't know what that meant. Originally, Abai said, Amina, I thought that this meant he was in charge, that the Pakia meant Psilta. What is this Psilta? This is something that was used in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, like the Mishnah Sukkah tells us, Kidnan, Mibloi, Michnesei HaKohanim, from the worn-out garments that the Kohanim would wear, as well as Umehem Nehen, and from the belts, the Avnet that they wore, when they were no longer in good enough condition to be used in the Avodah. So what did they do with them? So they used to use them for the wicks for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. They had these huge lamps in the Ezras Noshim that they put up there, and they would dance and have unbelievable things going on there at night, so they needed light. So they made these huge lamps, and they would take the worn-out clothing and belts from the Kohanim, and they would turn them into wicks for these huge lamps, and that's how they would light up these huge lamps that they had. Ah, that's what Abaye thought originally, but now, given the Shmaino, Lahor, the Tanya, now that he heard our Bryce over here that we just brought down, that not only the low old Elish Lokem and Amamuna Bipokia, that they got lashes over here from the Mamuna if they put out their thumb. Oh, he says, now, Amina, now I know my Pakia. What does Pakia mean? It means Nag, it means some sort of a whip. Gemara goes weiter. The Mishnah said, Maisa Shayushtem Shavim Rotsev Olam Akevish. We had the story in the Mishnah where the two Kohanim were running and they got into a little bit of a shoving match and one Kohen pushed the other Kohen and he broke his leg. Where it says, Tana Rabbanan, we learn the Brisa, a different story, an even more tragic story. Maisa b'shnei Kohanim, there were two Kohanim. Shayu shneim shavim, that both of them were running up the ramp and it was a photo finish. They were running together, v'rotzev olam akevesh, and who was going to win? And one of them broke ahead, and kadam echad mehem l'soch arba amos, shel, the gear that we have is shel chavero. And one of them broke ahead, and was reaching the finish line before his friend. When it means shel chaver, it means ahead of his friend. Alternatively, the Yishami has the girsa, and one of them got within the 4 amos of the finish line of the Mizbeach. Instead of chaver, they had the word Mizbeach. In any event, the one who was losing was very upset. Not al sakin, unbelievable. He took out a knife, v'taka lo b'libo, and he stabbed the other guy in the heart. Now, the other guy didn't die yet, but this was a tragic, tragic event. He's going to die momentarily. Amar Rav Yitzadok, Rav Yitzadok is watching this. Rav Yitzadok is one of the great Kohanim who lived at the end of the second Beis HaMikdash, and he gets up there, Amalos Ulam, he stands up there on the steps that lead up to the Ulam. Remember, we discussed from the Ulam to Mizbeach, there were a series of 12 steps that went there, so he stood up on those steps, and he tells everybody, whoa, what has just happened? The Amar, Acheinu Beis Yisrael, my brothers of Klai Yisrael, Shimo, listen. The Pasuk tells us in regards to Egla Rufa, which is funny, we had Egla Rufa just the other day, and here we have it again, when we had Shaul saying that, oh, how could I kill all these people? Look what happens with an Egla Rufa. If one person dies, and Shaul said, oh, I'm going to be asked to wipe out so many people. Anyway, Shaul was punished for that. Shaul was held accountable. So Reb Tzadok gets up over here and he also says, look at the Egla Rufa. Hari Omer, Ki Matzei Cholo Ba'adama. He quotes the first part of the Pasuk. If you find the person, Nebuch Deb, Yatsut Zekenech B'Shoftecha. And they have to go calculate which city it's closest to. And when they do that, the elders, the Chachamim of that city, they have to go and bring the Egla Rufa to say they weren't held accountable. So here, Anu, Almi lohavi egla rufa. How can we go bring an egla rufa? Aloir or alazaros? How do we decide who is the closest city? Now, the Gemara is going to say in a moment, this doesn't make any sense because Yerushalayim doesn't bring an egla rufa and these are in different cities over here. It's different azaros. And this question that he's saying isn't really meant to be a literal question. It's meant to bring out pathos. It's meant to bring out crying, as it eventually does. So he's saying, ay, what are we going to do over here? Who's going to bring this egla rufa? And go call on Bibchia. And everybody cried. Everybody realized the tremendous tragedy. I'll stop at this point and say that Nebuch, I'm dictating this in the morning after we heard about the terrible tragedy in Meron. I'm dictating this on Lag Ba'Omer. And Nebuch, there are a tremendous number of people in Klal Yisrael that are in mourning right now. All of Klal Yisrael is in mourning. There are certain families, Nebuch, that are in increased mourning, and there are people that are very sick. We're learning for Refuah Shleima for all of those families and for those people that are in the hospital. Hashem Yirachim. So, like we are doing now, go call on B'chia. All of Klal Yisrael cried when they heard Rav Tzadok speak. And the father of this child, the Baal Aviv Shel Tinok, the father of this Tinok. Now, why is he called the Tinok? So the Chai Shlomo says that the father loved the son so much, he was like a baby, like he loved a baby. So that's why he called him Tinok. He was obviously a mature Kohen, or else he wouldn't have been eligible to do the Avodah. So the father of this Nebuch, the stabbed boy, he came, they called him quickly, he came there, and he saw that his son Nebuch wasn't dead yet. And he said, Omar, Harehu Kaparaschem, he will be the Egla Rufa, so to say. In other words, he wanted to calm things down, and he wanted to say that his son should be a Kapara. His son shouldn't die in vain, so his son should be a Kapara. Vadayin b'ni mefarper v'lo nitmo sakin. And he added on, and this is an amazing comment, which the Gemara will discuss momentarily further. And he says, my son is still alive, so therefore he's not a Tomei Meis. And therefore the sakin, which we've mentioned previously, so the sakin would become an avatuma itself, not a rishon. It would become an avatuma itself, an aviavosatuma. And therefore, he said, quickly remove the knife because it's a metal implement, and it will become tame. And quickly, to teach us, that they were more concerned about the tuma and tara of the kalim, than the killing of his son. And this is what the pasuk tells us. This is a pasuk that's referring to the wicked king Menashe, who's described very, very unfavorably. The Gemara in Sanhedrin even suggests that he doesn't have a share in the world to come. There are those that say he did tshuva at the end. He was a long-reigning king, and his kingship of 55 years was filled with the avodah zarah and all sorts of troubles for Klal Yisrael. In any event, it says about Menashe, V'gam dam noki shofach Menashe. This Menashe, he killed many people, harbi ma'od, a lot. Adasher mile es Yerushalayim peh lepeh, until he ended up filling Yerushalayim with blood. Now, this Maisa that we're learning about here was 400 years later. This was towards the end of the second Beis HaMikdash. Menashe lived towards the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. And nevertheless, this idea for Menashe had continued and carried through. It was a problem for Klal Yisrael many, many years later as well. Now the Gemara says an interesting question. We had two mices. We had the mice in our Mishnah with a broken leg. And with this brisa, it tells us that a person got stabbed. So Gemara asks an interesting question. Hey, mice called them. Which one came first? Now, Ilemi, you're going to tell me the Shrichas Domim, this brisa, where one stabbed the other, came first. So now, if they didn't go and institute a pious after a murder, are you going to tell me they instituted a pious after a broken leg? Ashtar Shrichas Domim lo takinu paisa anishbor raglo takinu. If the rabbis didn't institute having a pious after they saw this stabbing incident, so then why in the world would they have instituted a pious afterwards when it just, quote, was a broken leg? Ah, you must tell me, Elo, Dinishma, Ragel, Kodim. So it must be that the case of the broken leg was first. So then, the Kiva, the Takinu Paisa. So it says that the rabbis were masaking the Paisa after the broken leg. So how did it happen in our case over here? Arabah Musmaev to tell you. How did they have a race over here that caused one person to stab the other? They stopped having the races. So the Gemara says, Taka, it was the first way. Elo, Yolom, the Shvichas Domim, Kodim. In fact, the case with the murder, the stabbing, that was occurring first. But it was so unusual and strange that the rabbi said, wow, this is a one-time event that will never happen again. Initially, you may call a summer, Akroi Biyamahu. This could never happen again. This was one crazy incident, and we don't have to do anything about it. But then they saw it happened again, albeit not so bad. Kivin the Chazi, they saw that one coin pushed another coin and it led to a broken leg. Afilu Memeila Asuli de Sakana. They said, no, we have the potential here. It's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. And therefore, Takina Rabbanan Paisa. The second time it happened, that proved to them that it wasn't a once-in-a-lifetime event. This was something that could occur, and therefore they set up the pious. Now, we just had this brisa where we said Rav Tzaddik spoke, so we're going to analyze that a little bit more. I really more or less said what the Gemara is going to say about this, but we'll see it now inside the Gemara. So we quote, Amad Rabbi Tzaddik Amalos Ulam Yomar Acheinu Beis Yisrael. Rav Tzaddik stood up on the steps going from the Mizbeach to the Ulam, and he tells all of Klai Yisrael, Shimu, listen to me. Harehu Omer, the Pasuk says, Ki Motzi Chol B'Adama, when we find the Egla Ruf of Psukim, it tells us that you have to go bring the Zakenim, have to see which city it came from, and they have to go out and say, we had nothing to do with this. So Rav Tzaddik said, Anan, Ami Lohavi, Aloir, Aloazara. So he said, who's going to bring the Egla Rufa now? Which city? Which Azara? So the Gemara says, this is obviously not a real question. Yushalayim, Bas Asuya Egla Rufa he? Was he really literally saying, who's going to bring the Egla Rufa? For Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Asara Dvarim, Nemru B'Yushalayim. There were 10 things that were mentioned in this Braisa in Baba Kama about Yushalayim, famous Braisa, V'zuachas Mihem, and this is one of them. Now we turn to Chof Gimel Amud Beis, and this is telling us, Eina Mevia Egla Rufa, Yerushalayim never has to bring an Egla Rufa. You find something between a dead person, Nebuch, between Yerushalayim and another city, so there's no contest. The other city brings the Egla Rufa, Yerushalayim doesn't bring an Egla Rufa. Furthermore, Va'od, Lo No Dami Ko, the Pasuk says that you only bring an Egla Rufa when the person is found dead and we don't know who killed him. So the pasuk says, "Lo noda mi ko ksiv." Here we saw the first coin stab the second coin. For noda mi ko. So what in the world is Rav Tzaddik saying? Who's going to bring the Egla Rufa? Like it was a real question. So the Gemara says the obvious terrors, as I said before, Ela k'dei l'harbus b'chiyah. He wasn't asking a real question. He was pointing out, look how seriously we take any death. And here we have a known murder right in front of us, right here in the Azara, Allah Hasaram of Akama, and that caused the people to cry. Then we quote further from the Braisa. It says, Ba Aviv Shel Tinok, the father of this Nebuch Cohen that was stabbed, Umetzo, he finds him, Shishum and Papri, he still was moving about, he wasn't dead. And he said, well, quickly, take out the knife, so it doesn't become Tommy. Amar, Harehu Kaparoschem, he said that my son should be the Kapara, and since, Vadayin, Bini Kayim, since he's still alive, Bechule, so go and take out the knife, in order that he shouldn't be Metami the knife. And we concluded that Brisa by saying, look how the people were more concerned about Tumah and Tara than they were about Shvichas Domim, about murder. So now the Gemara asks, which was the aberrance over here? Were they not really concerned about murder, and it was a normal concern about Tumah and Tara, or that they were very concerned about murder, and this was an abnormally sensitivity, an abnormal sensitivity to Tumah and Tara? That's what we're asking. Boil who? Shvichas Domim, who dissolved? Was it the fact that Shvichas Domim wasn't important to them? I will Taras Kalim, Kidikaima Kaima, but and the normal attitude towards Taras HaKalim of Tormentara. Or was it the other way around? Oduma, Shvichas Domim, Kidikaima Kaima. No, they had the normal appropriate concern about murder, and they had this elevated, unbelievable, high level of concern. I will Taras Kalim, who the Chamir. They were so machmir about that. Gemara says the first way is the correct way. Toshma midikonosiv lo tamuda, because the Gemara says afterwards, the Brisa brings down v'gam dam noki shofach Menashe. The Menashe just wantonly killed people. So shma mino shvichas dam hu dizal, that if they're comparing it to Menashe, it must be that they didn't hold human life so strongly, and that the shvichas damim had gone down in their significance, and they didn't really give it a tremendous, unbelievable importance that shvichas damim should have. No, taras kalim, that was the normal. But taras kalim kidikaima kaima. Now the Gemara is going to back in Darshan what we had talked about, the Trumas HaDeshen, and I remember I pointed out then that there was two aspects of the Trumas HaDeshen. There was the daily requirement to put some of the Trumas HaDeshen v'samo etzel hamizbeach, and according to many, it was miraculously swallowed up in the ground. And that was what we call the Trumas HaDeshen. But then there is also the Deshen that had to be taken outside. And that's called the Hotzah Sadeshen. So there's two aspects, two mitzvahs over here. One is a Truma Sadeshen, which was done every morning. And then there is this Hotzah Sadeshen, arguments as to whether it was done every day or whether it was done just when they had a lot of ashes on the top of the Mizbeach. Now, these two ideas are described differently in the Chumash. So it says, Tanu Rabban, it says, Ufashad es bigodav v'lavash bigodim achirim. So this is referring to the Hotzoas Hadeshen. But here it says that they had to go and take off their clothing and put on other clothing. V'lavash bigodim achirim, to take out the Hotzoas Hadeshen. Now, originally, they were wearing clothing when they did the V'lavash HaKohen, Mido Bad, Mechzevad. The Kohen had to wear his Midovad, that is like his shirt, they will call this his tunic, and he had to put on his pants. Umich l'sevad. It doesn't mention the mitznefes, it doesn't mention the abdet. So this is just the background to understand all these psukim, so when we darshan it now, we'll understand it. So, in the second pasuk, it says that he has to change his clothing when he's doing the Hotzoas Hadeshen. So, Shomani Kiderach Yom HaKippurim. Now this sounds like it's just like in Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol is constantly changing from his 8 golden garments into his 4 white garments. Now, the next line is very problematic. If you're going to read the next line, so it means then, okay, we just said that like the Kohen Gadol changes garments, so too, we're now referring to the Kohen Hedyot on a regular day, that when he does a Trumas HaDeshen, he wears the Big Day Kohuna, and then afterwards, Sheposhet Big Day Kodesh V'lovish Big Day Chol. He has to go and take off those holy garments that he did the Avodah in, and to take out the garbage, so to say, to take the Hotzias HaDeshen V'chus HaMachaneh, he doesn't wear the same Big Day Kodesh, because it's pasnish, as the Gemara will say, according to one opinion, for him to go and wear the Big Day Kohuna when he's taking out the garbage, so to say. Now, for example, Tosfos Shanim and others, they disagree. They say the simple understanding over here is that this is talking about the Kohen Gadol. So they delete this sentence and they say, Shomani Kiderach Yom HaKippurim. So just like this changing clothing on Yom Kippur, so too this changing clothing over here. And then they delete the words, Sheshaposhet Big Day Kodesh, V'lovish Big Day Chol, because the Kohen Gadol never took off Big Day Kodesh and put on Big Day Chol. He took off the golden garments and put on the white garments. He took off the white garments and put on the golden garments. He went from the 8 to the 4 to the 8. So therefore, they delete this over here. In any event, let's understand the Braisa in its totality. The Braisa is saying that there is a difference between the Trumas HaDeshen and the Hotzoas HaDeshen. And therefore, Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says in regards to the Hotzoas HaDeshen, Uforshadis Begodov V'lavash Begodim Achirim. So what does that mean? We teach Mekish Begodim Shalovesh LeBegodim Sheposhet. The first understanding over here, the Tanakhama's understanding, is that we make a Hekish over here because it taught us about the Lavash HaKohen Midovad U'Michsevad. And then it says that he has to put on Begodim Achirim. So Mekish Begodim Shalovish to Begodim Sheposhet. So we compare the Begodim he was wearing to the Begodim that he took off. And the Tanakhama says, Malahalam Big Day Kodesh, Avkam Big Day Kodesh. So he darshens these psukim to say that they both have to be Big Day Kahuna. The Tanakhama holds that the original garments that he wore to do the Trumas HaDeshen are Big Day Kahuna, and the garments that he does the Hotzoas HaDeshen are also Big Day Kahuna. So then what does it mean when it says, V'lavash Begodim Achirim? Doesn't Achirim mean that they're not holy? So the Tanakhama says, no. Imkein, ma tamad lomar Achirim, it means pechusin mehen. They're less valuable. They still are Big Day Kodesh, but they're less valuable Big Day Kodesh. So the Tanakhama, darshan's apsukim, is the Kohen has to always wear Big Day Kodesh, even when he does Hotzoas HaDeshen. Albeit, you don't wear your Shabbos finest, your Shabbos best, when you're doing the Hotzoas HaDeshen. On the other hand, Rebbe Lezer disagrees. Rebbe Lezer Omer, when it says, V'lavash bigodim Achirim Bahotzi implies limit ala kohanim bale mumim shekshirim lohotzi adeshen. The achirim can go and take it out. In other words, it's not an avoda. So therefore, even a kohen who's a bal mum and isn't allowed to do the avoda is allowed to do the otzos adeshen. And this will lead to his differently understanding what begadim are being worn over here. So we have a machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer. Let's analyze this more. The Gemara says, Amar, we go back and quote, Acherim, the first opinion, the Tanakhama says that the Acherim means that they're big de kahuna, but pechusin mehen, but they're not as valuable. They're less valuable than the original big de kahuna that he wore when he did the Truma Sedeshin. Now, this is in accord, ki the Tana de Rabbi Shmuel. This goes with what they learned in the base medish Rabbi Shmuel. What did they learn there? The Tana de Rabbi Shmuel. They learned the base medish Rabbi Shmuel, Begodim shebishel bohen kedero l'rabo, lo yimzog behem kos l'rabo. The cook in the kitchen is getting all sorts of ketchup and stains on his garments. So he cooks in the kitchen, he's allowed to get dirty. Now he's going out to serve the meal, he's going out to pour a cup of wine for his Rebbe. Then he shouldn't wear the dirty clothing that he cooked the meal with. He should put on a nice clean garment and serve the wine to his Rebbe with a nice clean garment. So therefore, according to this base medrash of Rabbi Shmuel's statement, we understand why you wear less choshuva begadim when you're taking out the garbage, when you're doing the hotzas hadeshen. And therefore, there's a difference between the stuff you're wearing in the kitchen when you're cooking and that which you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the same idea, when you're actually in the base of Mikdash doing the Trumas Hadeshen, you have to wear your finest. That's serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we knew now when you're taking out the ashes outside to burn them outside, so then you put on still big day kahuna, but you don't wear your finest. Now, Amar Reish Lakish, we have a machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. Reish Lakish says, Kimachlokes beotzah, Reish Lakish holds that just like the Tanakhama and Rav Eliezer are arguing about the hotzah, the Tanakhama says that you have to wear big dekuna, and Rav Eliezer says you don't wear big dekuna because it can be done even by a kohen bal mum. Obviously, the kohen bal mum doesn't wear big dekuna. So Reish Lakish says, just like there's a machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rav Eliezer regarding the hotzah sedeshen, kach machlokes biharoma. So too, they have the same machlokes in regard to the trumas hadeshen, that the Tanakhama says you wear big day kahuna, and Rabbi Leza seems to imply that even a kohen bal mum can do the trumas hadeshen. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan might, no, machlokes b'otzah. There's only machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Leza in regards to the otzahs hadeshen. Well, everybody agrees, baharoma, diriya kol avodi, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that a kohen bal mum cannot do the trumas hadeshen. Gemara says, what's the source of this machlokis? My time of the Reish Lakish, what's Reish Lakish's understanding that according to Reish Lakish, Rabbi Eliezer holds that even a bal mum can do the trumas hadeshen? Where does he get that from? So Reish Lakish would respond, Om Aloch, he would say, if you're telling me that it's really an avoda, so then why did the pasuk say, Yesh lecha avoda shekshera b'shnei kelim? It says, v'lavasha kohen, Mido bad umichasei vad. That's it. It just wears a shirt and pants. What about the mitznefes? What about the avnei? The pasuk didn't mention them. So therefore, from the fact that the pasuk says that he only wears a shirt and pants, it means that it must not be an avoda. And therefore, the true masadeshin could be done even by Apostle Cohen, according to Rabbi Eliezer, because it didn't mention the other two begadim. Obviously, you need to have all four begadim to do an avoda. If the Torah tells us you can do this with two begadim, the shirt and the pants, so obviously it's not an avoda. That's Reish Lakish's understanding of Rabbi Eliezer. No, Taka, that's a very good argument. What does Rabbi Yochanan say about that? No, Rabbi Yochanan, what would we respond? He would say, Gali Rachmona b'ksonis u'mechnesayim. The Torah does mention, you're right, the ksonis, mido, bad, and the mechnesayim, u'mechnesay vad. However, it didn't have to tell us. Obviously, it also means, who are them? Limits nefes v'yavne. He also, of course, has to wear his hat and his belt. Gemara says, Umay Shnohani. So then why did it mention only those two? Right? Rabbi Yochanan, you can't say it means two, it really means four. Then why did it just mention the two? So there's a drush, Rabbi Yochanan says, when it said, the Lavash HaKohen, Mido Vad, Umay Shnohani. Why does it say Mido Vad? So Mido is coming to teach us, Kimidoso. Then it must be perfectly fitting. It can't be too large, it can't be too small. Mido is a play on the word Mida. And therefore, he has to wear exactly fitting for him. Otherwise, the avodah is not good. And then why does it say, Michl Sevad Yabash Abasaro? What's the purpose of that? L'chadetanya. You need it for the following brisa. Minayin Shelo Yehi Dover Kodum L'chasayim. That the pants are the first thing that you put on first. Shenemar, U'michl Sevad Yabash Abasaro. That should be put on on his body. In other words, that's the first thing that he's putting on his body. Again, it's lav dafka that he was naked at this time, but it meant that that was the first of the four begadim that he had to put on. He could be wearing something over him. The person has to get dressed and it's sneer stick away. So he could be wearing some sort of a non-avoda smock or a garment or covered up in some way. He puts on his pants and then he puts on the shirt and he puts on the mitznefes and he puts on the abne. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan says the pasuk specifically mentions these two things. No, we turn the tables back on Reish Lakish. No, what are you going to do with that? Reish Lakish, how are you going to learn out these two dinim? You also agree that it has to be a perfectly fitting ksones, the mido vad has to be perfectly fitting, and you also agree that the mechlesayim have to be put on first. So if you're going to learn from this, then your drasha falls apart. So Reish Lakish says, no, from the fact that it says mido kimidaso, why did it use this lashon? I agree with this drasha, but why did it not say ketones? So mida afke rachmona beloshon mido, since the Torah specifically used the term mido over here for his shirt instead of ketones, which is the normal word that we use. So therefore, I can learn both. And how do I know that it means that he has to put on his pants first? Shelo yedover kodlum lechusayim, because it says yobash al bisaro. May from the words al bisaro nafka, so that was unnecessary. So he could darshan Reish Lakish both of these two dinim, the Rabbi Yochanan darshan, but he can still say the fact that it only mentions these two means that it's not navoda according to Rabbi Eliezer. Now the Gemara wants to say that this machlokus between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan is named Moketanoi, is also found amongst the Tanoim, because the pasuk says al bisaro, that which we just said, Yobash HaKohen Mido Vad, when you say Vad, Yobash Al Bisaro, so the words Al Bisaro tell me that it's on his body. So why do you need the word Yobash? Why Yobash Al Bisaro? You should have said Al Bisaro. Matamalobi Yobash. So let us say that this Tana says, Lohavi Mitznefes V'Abdeit L'Harama, to come to teach me that Yobash also has to have the Mitznefes and the Abdeit, in addition to the Ketones and the Michlesayim. Ah, lahavi mitznefes v'avdeit l'harama, dear Rabbi Yehuda. This is exactly like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Dosa disagrees. Rabbi Dosa says, no, you don't need this yilbash to tell me about the mitznefes and the avdeit. The reason why it says yilbash, an extra word, is l'rabos big day kohen gadol b'yom kippurim shekshem l'kohen hedyo. That the four garments that the kohen gadol wears, the white garments, after Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol can't wear them anymore, but guess what? A regular Kohen Hedro can wear them. Because according to Rabbi Dosa, we had this early in the Masechta, Rabbi Dosa holds that the white garments that the Kohen Gadol wore were the exact same white garments that the regular Kohanim wore all year long. They were both four garments, and therefore, even though the Kohen Gadol can't wear them anymore, based upon this Pasuk, Yilbash tells me that a regular Kohen Hedro could wear them to do the Avodah. Rabbi does not like this answer of Rabbi Dosa, and he tells him, two reasons why you're wrong. Amar Rebbe, shtei tshuvos b'davar. Two reasons why you're wrong. Number one, chada, the avneto shel kohen gadol, lo zeh avneto shel kohen hedyot. Like we learned in the first perek, there's a big machlokis as to whether they both were made of the same material. We have the opinion of Rebbe that the kohen gadol was not kilayim when he was wearing his white garments. And according to Rebbe, the regular kohanim, their avnet was in fact made out of kilayim. So therefore, if you were to wear the kohen gadol's garment as a Kohen Hedyot, it would not be a kosher garment because the Kohen Hedyot had to have kilayim. And the Kohen Gadol's four garments were not made out of kilayim. So therefore, Rebbe says to Rebbe Dosa, technically, it's not a good beged for a Kohen Hedyot. Now, Rebbe Dosa's answer to that is he holds that both of them were not made out of kilayim. He holds that the Kohen Hedyot also wasn't allowed to wear kilayim on his abnet, just like the white garments of the Kohen Gadol were not kilayim. So that's how Rabbi Dosa would answer up this teretz number one, or this argument number one of Rabbi. So that's number one, chodah. V'od, furthermore, number two, begadim, clothing, shenishtamashta, bahen kedusha chamura, a beggar that was worn by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Are you going to tell me now you can be more read than bekedusha, tishtamish bahen kedusha kala? You can use it for a lesser kedusha. We have a rule. Malim b'kodesh ve'im oridin. So how can you use something by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur for a regular Kohen Hedyot the rest of the year long? And therefore, Rabbi says, Rabbi Dosa, you're wrong. Aye. Then why does it say the word Yobash? Elamat hamalom Yobash. We turn to Chavdal Omer Aleph. L'rabos es hashechokim. That's coming to teach us that as long as it's a kosher garment, albeit it's somewhat worn out, it's still eligible to be worn by the Kohanim. Now in a moment, the Gemara is going to say, like I've already said, that my lab ha'kam iflegi, that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa are arguing about the same thing that Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan were arguing about. But we'll get to that in a moment. The Gemara just finishes off and says, The pasuk says v'nicham sham, that you go and put after the Yom Kippur avoda is done. The Torah says that the Kohen Gadol has to take off his white garments and v'nicham sham, and he puts them away. Now, what does that mean? The Tanakhama says it means that he puts them away forever. Nobody's ever allowed to use them again, not the Kohen Gadol and not the Kohen Hedjot. However, Rabbi Dosa Omer, Rabbi Dosa disagrees. He says, Rui Nehle Kohen Hedjot, for the reasons that we already said, that there wasn't a problem of Kilayim. Both of them were not Kilayim, and they were perfectly the same begodim. So even though the Kohen Gadol has a prohibition against using it again next year for Yom Kippur, why waste it? A Kohen Hedjot is allowed to use it. It means that the Kohen Gadol can't use it again, but a Kohen Hedjot can use it. Okay, that just finishes off the understanding of Rabbi Dosa's Shita. Now the Gemara says, this machlokus between Rabbi and Rabbi Dosa, it parallels the machlokus of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. The Mar Savar Rabbi Yehuda says that it's an avodahi. You have to go and wear the big day kahuna, and therefore you have all four big day kahuna. That goes exactly like Rabbi Yochanan. Umar Savar and Rabbi Dosa, he says, no, you only wear two, and it's not big day kahuna, so he must hold like Reish Lakish, that says that the Trumas Hadeshen could be done, according to Rabbi Eliezer, even by a Kohen who's blemished, because it's not an avoda. Umar Savar lav avodahi. So Rabbi Dosa, Reish Lakish, they would say that it's not an avoda. Mar says, lav dafka, no. Gemara says, lo, l'kuli amo avodi. No, in fact, both Rabbi and Rabbi Dosa, they hold like Rabbi Yochanan that it's an avoda, and none of them hold like Reish Lakish. Why? This is what the Rabbi and Rabbi Dosa argue about. They're just arguing about, do you or do you not need the pasuk to tell me that there were four? But they both agree that there were four. They both hold like Rabbi Yochanan, that this was a regular avoda that was done by a Kohen. It couldn't be done by a Kohen Bamum, who only wears two garments. Both Rabbi and Rabbi Dosa say that they wore four garments. They're just arguing about the psukim as to whether you need the pasuk to specifically Yilbash to be marba all four, or you use Yilbash for something else, but they have to do all four, and therefore don't align this with the machlokas of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. With this, we conclude today's shir, again, with the tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the role of Klal Yisrael should have their suffering eased, and all those that Nebuchadnezzar and Avelus should find Nichum. Hashem Yirachem.